Climate Change at the University of Manchester and Deputy Director of the Tyndall Centre for Climate Change Research. He's in our Salford studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's your approach to this?
Well, as the commentator just made then, the most important thing is that we actually change our behaviour. And let's be very clear that most flying is carried out by a relatively small proportion of the population. Most people just fly occasionally, but there are this small group who are very frequent flyers, and these people cannot be using offsetting to allow them to carry on business as usual. They need to radically change how it is that they run and operate their lives.
Really, doesn't it depend on the work they do? Someone like Emma Thompson couldn't pursue her craft without being prepared to film all over the world.
Well, for one thing, we've had people making films for many decades now, and they did not fly all around the world. So we have operated with, you know, with the media, with sport, with academics that have been pursuing these things for decades without so regularly flying. And indeed, when Emma Thompson came over to the Extinction Rebellion event, she could alternatively have bought a billboard poster in Piccadilly and given her message virtually there. Even though she did fly here, she could have flown standard class instead of business class, which would have reduced her emissions by about a third.
Why does that reduce the emissions?
Because if you travel either business or first class, you take up far more space on the plane, and that means that your emissions per seat are far, far higher. So if we are going to at all, we should never be in first or business class. We should always be in the cattle class with everyone else. Okay. And that would, of course, change how important these meetings suddenly become.
When did you last fly?
2004.
Really?
Yeah.
But you must get invited to conferences around the world.
I do indeed, and I attend virtually. I very periodically, so I did some work in China a little while ago, where most of my colleagues flew in for the one-day event, but because it took me 11 days to get there by train, I then just spent 3 weeks there doing some work, because I won't be going back to China very often. And that's the point about this. It changes how we have to operate our lives. So I did some work in Iceland. I took a container ship, which again meant I spent 2 weeks in Iceland doing work rather than just flying in for the single event.
But you'd appreciate that probably in most people's working lives would not be possible. I mean, you work on climate change, so...
But I would disagree there. Most of my colleagues would argue it's not possible. But by doing it, you show it is. If we are serious about climate change, it is not a business-as-usual world. We will have to change how it is we operate. And until we accept that, we're going to continue to fail on climate change and the emissions will just continue to rise. We mustn't be locking in, particularly for aviation, a very high carbon infrastructure with no real opportunity in the near to medium term for becoming low carbon. So when we fly, we are saying expand the airports, buy more planes, lock in more high carbon infrastructure.
Okay. On a related note, I wonder what you make of this warning from the Environment Agency talking about not being able to ultimately win a war against water by building away climate change with increasingly high flood defences, and say that communities may need to be moved away from coasts and rivers. Is that a sensible approach or an admission of failure?
Well, it's not an admission of failure in terms of the Environment Agency, it's an admission of failure.
No, but I mean in terms of the fight against climate change.
Yeah, yes, exactly that. We have the first report from the UN on climate change in 1990, almost a third of a decade ago, and yet emissions this year will be 65% higher than they were then. And even a country like the UK has had no real reduction since 1990. Now, we have fundamentally failed on climate change, and we are passing that legacy on to our children. And that links to your previous story where us high emitters are still trying to find ways so we can pay other people to compensate for our high carbon lifestyles. So we are in a very difficult position. We should have acted earlier. We haven't. We now face profound changes, and yet we're still trying to avoid making those changes.
Kevin Anderson, thank you very much.